This is Kinetic Podcast, a podcast for those with a heart for reaching kids. I'm your host, Josh Combs, and each episode you're going to hear practical insights and strategies that will hopefully inspire you to energize your kidmen. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy today's episode. Welcome back to Kinetic Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. This is a podcast geared for you, anyone in kids ministry, anyone who has a passion for kids, anyone that wants to see kids saved. This is what we're all about. We're here to energize your kidmen. Today's guest is Pastor Richard Gifford in Waycross, Georgia, and he's been the pastor there for 7 years. And you're going to hear a lot about his story and how kids ministry has transformed his church. This is an incredible conversation. It's inspired me personally. I hope it inspires you to really take kids ministry outside of the four walls, because when we do that, it not only changes kids, but it changes everyone else that is involved with the ministry of reaching out to kids, reaching out to families. And so you're going to hear all about how kids ministry changed his church and how it's still continuing to change his church. So this is Richard Gifford. Well, today on Kinetic Podcast, it is so good to have a good friend of mine, Pastor Richard Gifford, who is a pastor in Waycross, Georgia, and he has pastored there for the past 7 years at the Pentecostals of Waycross. He also serves as a children's ministry director in the state of Georgia. He's been doing that for the past 5 years, and he has a great passion and ministry for kids at his church, and so we're going to hear about that today. Pastor Richard, thank you so much for being on Kinetic Podcast today.
Hey, great. Great to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So kind of go through with us, explain, you know, what's going on there in Waycross, Georgia. I've had the opportunity to witness it personally. You guys have an amazing ministry, not just within the church, but also reaching out to kids. And you guys have a great ministry where you serve kids outside of the four walls of the church. Which, you know, I think a lot of times to churches can be, maybe if they haven't done that before, it can be an intimidating thing, or it can be something that they're not sure where to start. But it's essential what you guys are doing is essential. So just kind of explain to us your passion and your heartbeat for kids ministry and what's going on there in Waycross, Georgia.
All right, well, I'll just give you a little backdrop to it. So when we first took the church, it was an existing church there in Waycross. We had one church van that was picking up kids. There was a sweet lady driving it, awesome lady, but she was mostly picking up her family members, her, you know, nieces and nephews, which, you know, it was great that she was picking them up. And, felt early on just a real tug and push to, expand outreach. And so, we started knocking doors. I, you know, had made a personal commitment to, knock every door in our city, and which is, you know, it's not a huge town, but it's definitely not a small little town either as far as trying to get to that. And still haven't accomplished that, but working on it. But along the way, it was really finding that getting kids to come to church, many times parents were more willing to let their kids come to church than necessarily than they might. And so we just expanded a little bit and started picking up kids that were, to be honest with you, on the front end, it was a little rough, and it's still kind of crazy. It's crazy fun right now, but it was a little rough at first. Some of the kids that we were picking up were picking them up because they had been kicked off of other church vans or buses. In other words, they couldn't, that other local churches were saying, you know, your behavior is and such, we're not gonna let you ride back on the bus or the van. And so, you can just kind of imagine how that kind of started. And we were, it was probably five or six kids at first that, once we made that first initial push for, outreach that was coming on besides the ones that we were originally bringing already. And, my goodness, it was, and just four or five kids was really creating the like chaos in our Sunday school department, you know, because there's the parents, the kids that come with their families, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, or whatever. And we probably had about 10 or 12 kids total in our children's ministry. So within a short period of time, we doubled that with the kids coming in from the bus ministry. And teachers were excited about it, but at the same time, they were like, you know, they felt like it was somewhat chaos. And it was one of those things that we just really felt, I felt the push and the urge. I went to Moline or Silvis, Illinois, and which is a children's ministry conference out there. It's called Investing in Futures. And one of the, I guess, bus ministry gurus was there from out in Kansas, Brother Cornwell. And Brother Cornwell was telling these stories about their bus ministry. And I'm like, man, that's super cool. I want to do that. But, you know, we probably had two vans going at this point and maybe a total of 12 or 15 kids coming on the vans. And so I took a big step of faith. I just made a kind of a public knowledge, went on Facebook and said, hey, I would like a church bus. And honestly, I'm not even kidding you. I don't think I knew exactly what I was getting myself into or church into, but we did it. We took this leap.
Yeah.
And so the somebody inboxed me and said, hey, we got a church bus that we don't use any longer. We'd be glad to donate it to you guys. And so we get this bus, and we just start going to town, Brother Combs. And honestly, and I'll go into details more what we do, but currently we average picking up between our two vans and our two buses. So we have four vehicles on the road every Sunday and every Wednesday. We average busing in or vanning in, whatever how you look at it, transportation, approximately 100 to 120 kids total will come in through bus or van ministry every Wednesday night and every Sunday, and have now for about 2 to 3 years.
That's incredible.
It's exciting. And you got to get your people. They got to be really, you got to sell it to the folks. I mean, because realistically you can't go from 0 to 100. It, you know, I mean, that's obviously in any case, but, and we did, we went from, you know, 10 to 20 or 25, and then from 25 to about where we're at, about 100 within a year. It just grew that fast when we got, the second bus. The second bus kind of came the same direction. It was, it wasn't donated, but the, we purchased it. And we keep them both filled up in both vans on the road all the time.
Now, what would you say was the key ingredient to, you know, getting your church on board? Because I like what you said there. It wasn't an overnight thing. You know, it was a process. But what were some of the things you felt like really kind of engaged the church and you know, that were part of your vision?
I had to talk about it a lot from the platform and celebrate the victories. So when we hit the 30 number, we would make a big to-do about it in church. Like, and really, and even in the rough moments, and, you know, and there are still some tough times. And I mean, you know, it's not like it's, you know, runs perfectly every Sunday or every Wednesday. You know, you start bringing 100 total between the kids that come with their parents and busting them in, 130 to 150 kids on a Wednesday or a Sunday, and having that mixture of, kids coming, you know, I guess you could say like a bus kid. We try not to call them that, to a bus kid or a kid that's come with their parents. You know, mixing them into the classrooms. Many times the kids are coming on the bus are a little more, they're a little more outspoken or aggressive in nature at times because, you know, sometimes they're coming from very, you know, tough homes, rough situations, and they get to church and they're still somewhat aggressive in their nature. So we have to work through that. But to the Sunday school teachers, parents, and church members, I personally championed that a lot. I took that on as my kind of, you know, I didn't hand that off to somebody else. I mean, we do have a Sunday school director or a children's ministry director, but I mean, I'm still pretty intricately involved in it. And what I mean by that is I'm very visible. I'm high-fiving kids, shaking hands, just sort of the air traffic controllers. The kids are coming in as they're going out there. I'm very, very visible to the kids and to, and it takes, this is probably, it takes about 40 to 50 staff members or volunteers to make this happen on a Sunday or a Wednesday. So that's between bus ministry, food ministry, which we haven't really talked about that so much just yet, as feeding the kids, teachers, monitors in the rooms, monitors on the bus, you know, cafeteria workers, between 40 and 50 volunteers every Wednesday. Yeah. And that's where we do our big feeding at, is on Wednesday night.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. So it was really you kind of planning that vision, and then the vision caught. And like you said, you have a staff that's there, you know, put making the vision happen, but you're still visible, which obviously helps fuel that vision. So that's incredible. And what a great way to, you know, launch that. Yeah. Tell us about the food ministry, because that's pretty amazing. So you serve the kids every Wednesday?
Every Wednesday, there's a full meal. So, you know, hypothetically, and we don't just do like, you know, school cafeteria meals. I mean, it's a full meal. And we feed the kids, but we also feed all of our volunteers that are there as well. So we'll end up feeding between 150 and 200 people between the kids and the volunteers on Wednesday night. And all of that is the work of it, the preparation and all that happens by some retired ladies in the church who's just caught the vision. They come in, they go buy the groceries. Do they do the food prep? They can, you know, and obviously after doing it for several years, now we've kind of got it down to, you know, a science of what, how much we need of what, so on and so forth. But they'll come in about noon on Wednesdays. They're there now prepping, getting stuff ready for tonight. And then when we, you know, it, we, you know, we basically, because our cafeteria isn't real big, we kind of, I call it shuffling the deck. We bring in two classes at a time into the cafeteria to eat. So two classes come in while the other classes are actively having class. They go back to their classroom when they're finished. When they walk in the cafeteria, it's set up ready to eat. So we bring them in, they sit down and eat. They get about 12 minutes to eat. Then as they're done eating, you know, we let them know it's time for them to exit. The next group, we clean up real quick again, set the tables again. The next group comes in, and we do that three times.
That's amazing. Now, unpack that for us a little bit, because I imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, I imagine casting the vision for that as opposed to casting the vision for the bus ministry was maybe a little bit different, because, I mean, that is definitely, you know, an intensive ministry of coming in, preparing food, serving kids on a weekly basis. So how did you kind of put that together and launch that, get that started of serving the kids and getting people on board with that?
Well, it did come second. The bus ministry, van ministry started first. And we were basically doing snacks for the kids. What kind of happened through a summertime in 2014, the summer of 2014, there's a program that the state of Georgia has. It might even actually be a federal program where that it's kind of a stop hunger program. And so you go to the schools and we could pick up lunches and feed kids. And so one of the ladies that attends our church is she's very active in our community. She brought this to me. She said, "Hey, we can get these bag lunches. Why don't we feed the kids on Wednesday night? You know, and it won't cost us anything." And I'm like, sure. So we started out, we did it for those, you know, 6 or 7 weeks as that was kind of coming to an end. And for the most part, the food prep was already done. It was pretty basic. We could do it with 6 to 10 volunteers. A guy in our church who's not attending the church now, but at the time he was, he said, "If we can continue this, I'll fund it. If you can continue to feed the kids on Wednesday night, I'll fund all of the cost of it." So I sat down with some of our, you know, and again, it was at the time, and it's still a lot of our seniors that do the food preparation. They're not in the workforce any longer. They're basically 60 to 70 years old ladies that are, just take their time to do this. And so as far as putting the food together, now serving and cleaning up, we do that, and I'll talk about that in a minute. We do that with a young staff, with our young adults and teenagers. But anyway, that went on for about a year and a half. These funds came in from an outside, well, from a private source, and that guy basically had gotten in an accident, was no longer able to do that. And I put the call, the kind of the need out, and I said, hey, this is what we do. And since then, the money has came from community people who do not attend our church. They attend other different denomination churches. They fund as a mission back to our church several $100 a week for us to be able to do that.
Wow.
It does not come out of our church finances. It comes from community money every week.
Now, is that other, mainly just other churches? Do you have any businesses that support that as well?
We do. We have one business that does it, and the other ones are not really other churches. It's just community. I would say community leaders. One of our city commissioners, people who are just that actively understand where we pull from. We don't do it to say, hey, feel sorry for us, but we don't hide what we do either. I mean, it's pretty. We actually bring in, which is another part we can talk about. We bring in the police department, fire department, different people to kind of, we have. So not only do we do the spiritual side of it, we teach them, the principles and things of God, but we're also bringing in kind of connecting the community. So the kids, because they're mostly all living the projects, the kids that are coming on the bus and so on buses. And so, the local police department, sheriff's department loves it. We bring in officers and deputies, and they, I don't let them come in uniform, but they come in and they'll meet the kids and, chitter chat with them for, 5-10 minutes. And so we have got a tremendous buy-in from city officials, county officials. And we're basically, everybody knows our church is the church that is the community church particularly for the project kids.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. And I think that's a lot of times that's something that churches, they don't know to tap into, or they're not aware of, is that communities all over, they're open to that. Churches that are, that are serving the community and want to get behind that. We've seen that here in Connecticut. We do like a backpack give back every year, and we have businesses and even the town, the local government there, come out of the woodwork every year and support us. And so communities, they love that. They really do. So that's amazing. I want to go back to what you were saying about getting like the young adults and the teenagers involved. Cause I really feel, once people get involved with this, especially teenagers, young adults, it can become their own passion, their own burden of where they're reaching out to kids. So tell us a little bit about that, of getting the younger people involved as well.
So that's remarkably changed the landscape of our church. And this is probably the thing I'm the most proud of, even though I love our kids ministry. So about 3.5 years ago, when we really launched into this, we was already doing a pretty significant push towards young adults in our community, bringing them in, trying to evangelize and disciple them. One of the things that I realized pretty quickly, I could get people's hands real involved in ministry quickly, in children's ministry, providing they could pass the background checks. And for the most part, the people we were reaching was like young adult leaders. So, young professionals, so on and so forth. Not that we were just trying to make them feel sorry for the kids, but they wanted to be community-minded and missions-minded. And I'm not talking about apostolics. I'm talking about people from either other denominational churches or just kind of unchurched, the 21, 23-year-old that was maybe had went to some, a Baptist or Methodist church or wherever, not going to church anywhere at all. They absolutely loved what we were doing at kids ministry. They felt like they were going on a missions trip every week. So I'm bringing them in, teaching them, doing Bible studies with these young adults, but I'm engaging in the ministry. They're serving Kool-Aid and food, and they're just kind of connecting with the kids. As they're connecting with the kids, I'm connecting with them in our churches. That being said, we have our church now, in the past 3 years, we have about 20 young adults that all came in from kind of either directly or indirectly connected to kids ministry, because they baptized them, they got the Holy Ghost. Many of them now are Sunday school teachers, praise singers, worship leaders, very, very, very involved. And we're continuing that process right on. I mean, we're always reaching deep into their peer group. So if you work at, one young lady, she was the manager at Bath and Body. She had a friend. We won her to God. Her friend started coming because she was like, our church don't do anything like this. We want to get involved. And it became, we were not only reaching the kids, but we were reaching a young adult generation that wanted to, and probably, to be quite honest with you, probably on the front end, it makes them feel good, like they're doing something noble. Right. But at the same time, we're connecting with them, trying to pull them into the church. And our church is just loaded now with this. People have asked me, none of these young adults were there 3 or 4 years ago. These are all people who lived in our community, who got connected through, and to be quite frank with you, they liked the fact of where the kids were coming from. And so it's been an amazing, I'm talking about an amazing thing to watch happen. Wow. And so they now all serve a ministry. And then we take our teenagers. If you're 15, 16, and your parents attend our church, which was essentially would be you're in a high school class. We don't have a high school class on Wednesday night. We don't bus in high school kids either. So the kids that come are either elementary or middle school. We require you to serve in ministry. So you have to either be an assistant in a class, you have to work on the bus team, or you have to work on the food ministry. There's going to be one of those three areas you're going to work in. It could be taking the trash out. It could be wiping a table off. It could be sweeping the floor. If you're a member of our church and your parents or whatever, and you're 14, 15, 16, 17, we are 100% plugging you in to our ministry.
I love that. And that's such a great paradigm shift, because instead of where, taking a service every week where maybe it was, something for them, they're in turn serving the kids and serving the church. So that's incredible. That is incredible. Now, with the whole reaching out young adults, for the kids ministry, was that just kind of something that organically happened just through contacts of people, young adults in the church reaching their peers? Was there kind of an organized push for that, or was it just more organic?
So it was on the front end, it was organic, and then it became more organized after I realized the bait that we had really was tugging on these young adults' hearts. And I would watch as a junior or senior in college who is, looking get their life back on track, and they come in and there's this 6-year-old looks up at them. They give this person a big hug, and then I became intentional about it, and kind of coming over, hey, you're going to see them again next week, and kind of connecting them back to the ministry. Ultimately, I was, our kids' ministry absolutely changed our church to the better, hands down. I mean, without question about it, it's definitely made us a much, much better church through and through. Now, we did lose some families over kids ministry. People got frustrated. They never really got on board with it. It just irritated them that we were bringing these kids in. And so that, that being said, that was one of the things that we had to deal a little bit with, but it was well worth it.
Yeah, that's incredible. Man, what an awesome testimony. And I will tell you, for me, there's definitely a paradigm shift happening listening to you because, you know the saying, you bring in the kids and the families will follow. Well, I think a lot of times we miss this, and you're a prime example of it, living example of it. If you're reaching out for the kids, yes, you can reach families, but you can also reach teenagers and young adults because they're going to catch the vision. and they're going to, you know, get right behind you and catch that burden. So that's amazing.
So one of the things, the young adults I'm talking about, one of the young ladies that just graduated from medical school, and she's a doctor now. As she was going through the early stages, of our ministry, she fell in love with what we do. Now she actually does not. She calls our church her home church, but she lives and works somewhere else. But she pays her tithes faithfully back to our church, and when she's in town, she comes back. And the reason being, she absolutely believes in what we're doing, and she wow. was one of those kids. Now, so that's, it's just incredible. Now, that being said, we've kind of been doing it long enough where we're seeing also one of the most dynamic young leaders in our entire church is a 14-year-old girl who came, was one of the very first kids who came 6 years ago on one of our vans from the projects. This kid, she's been featured on Fox News, Fox and CBS has been to our church to do stories on her. She does what's called the Natalia Project. Every Thanksgiving, she has a project where she goes back into the projects. She doesn't live there anymore. She goes back into the projects, feeds families, brings full dinners, and she's got huge amounts of community support for her project. And guess where she goes to church at? And guess where who basically was interested? Her mom and dad are not really that. Dad's been in and out of prison. Her mom's just really suffered with depression, different stuff. Natalia's like a rock star, man. I mean, everybody loves her. And she's 14, and she served every week in our kids' ministry. I mean, and wow. not just so. I wouldn't even want to try to do it without her. This yeah. girl, and she can connect with the kids that are coming on the bus in a way that nobody else can. I mean, not to the level she can do it. And so it's, I can tell you something. You could probably hear my voice. I'm pretty passionate about it. And it's just yes. it's incredible what happens. And I'm not going to go into all the stories, but what I was telling you about when I first started this conversation with Brother Cornwell, there are some amazing stories that already happened since then here in Waycross that it's just been tremendous. And it's not because of me. It's because of our people getting on board with the vision and saying, hey, Pastor, we believe in this. If this is what, you feel like we should be doing, let's do it. And I'm just telling you, I don't ever let up on it. We come in on a Wednesday night. First thing I'll say is we had so many kids and children's church tonight, because we do children's church first, and then we do an adult, we do a full service. And we'll clap our hands, and I thank everybody. Thank you, volunteers, for serving tonight. We had, 43 volunteers tonight that, left work early or came straight from work. And every week I make a big deal about it, because it is a big deal. They don't have to do it. They do it because they choose to do it.
Wow.
I celebrate the win every time.
Definitely, definitely. And that not only keeps that vision alive, but it also keeps it, it keeps it visible in front of the church. And that's what you're going to get. Maybe people that come in, or maybe people that have been on the fence that keep seeing, and that's what's going to kind of, help them change their mind or help them make a commitment to be a part of it. So, I love it, because what you're explaining is just real life evidence that children's ministry can change a church. When you have a vibrant children's ministry that's reaching out to kids in the community, it's not just going to change those kids, which I'm sure you have many, many stories of that, but it's going to change the people involved. So that's just incredible.
Yeah, and the old stories that you hear, that if you reach the people that nobody wants, you'll get. So I won't go into all the details, but there are multiple families right now that are in our church, was not in our church prior to kids ministry ramp up, and these are community leaders, pretty successful people, that any church in our community would love to say, that person attends our church. You'd walk into, wherever and say, hey, you know, this is Mr. So-and-so or Brother So-and-so, and he attends the POW. It all started, they first made their first visit to our church to check out what we were doing for the ministry. They gave me 10 minutes. I've had people, can I just come and observe it? I want to watch it. And I'm sure.
Wow.
And the next thing you know, they're like, we want to make this our home church. You know, what you guys are doing is having such an impact. We want to make this our home church.
That's awesome. I love it. Now, just kind of, we'll wrap things up here in a few minutes, but you know, the purpose of this podcast is to take ideas and concepts and to really kind of try to break them down for so people that are listening. You know, a lot of people that are listening, they're kids pastors or Sunday school directors, and we might also have some pastors that listen as well. But what would you suggest? What are some steps that people can take? If you have a kids pastor or a pastor that's listening, they don't have a bus ministry, they don't have anything right now, but they would like to start something, they would like to get something going, reaching out to the community, even if it's not a bus ministry, just some kind of outreach to the community. What are some steps that they can take right now, or what's some advice you would give them to get that going?
One of the things that we did is we started having fun days, kind of what some people may call block party, and we just started connecting with the kids. We did that pretty regularly before we even started bringing many kids to the church. We started making connections with them. We went to where they're at, as close as we could get to the largest pocket of kids, which for the most part happens to be, you know, for us, I almost hate that label of projects, but, you know, housing, you know, apartment places.
Right.
They're hungry. They're ready, man. I mean, but, you know, here's the thing. This is my opinion as a lead pastor. If it's a children's pastor, not every lead pastor may have that exact passion, but if he can get his lead pastor on board where they can start making those connections to kids' ministries, the kids and building that kids' ministry that way, it's the funnest thing I've ever done in my life. I mean, I've been privileged to do a lot of pretty cool stuff in ministry, and what we're doing today, what we'll do tonight, is the highlight of my. I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but I'd rather do this than preach funeral conference. I mean, this is it beats deep in my heart.
So you would suggest, just, you know, as a kids pastor, you know, if you have someone's listening as kids pastor, to you know, just encourage the lead pastor to catch that vision if they don't have that yet. But I believe that a kids pastor can, you know, start directing their kids ministry, you know, in with more of an outreach mindset. You know, so what are some ways that they could do that, even if it's not, because like you said, it's not an overnight thing, but what are some, you know, other things that they can do connecting with the community, you know, even if it's this week of, or, you know, this month of just, you know, where, no, it might not be what it's going to look like 6 months from now, but starting that culture of outreach.
One of the things as a dad, whenever I've talked to my kids, you know, I'm going back several years ago when they were, you know, in kids church or they went somewhere, I would ask them two questions. What did you learn? And did you have fun? If my kids aren't having fun, then I know they're not interested. If you start some fun events, we did water balloon tosses, you know, just bringing cotton candy and, you know, snow cones. And we still do that every month once, you know, three years into our, and we've been doing, you know, bus ministry or band ministry longer than 3 years. We've been doing that ever since I've been in Lake Crossing. It's just grew to the level it's at in the last 3 years. We still once a month have a big fun day. And I take some of them same young adults that I'm talking about, and I'm like, hey guys, let's get out here and we just make a big blast out of it. We'll throw football with the kids and you know. And we didn't start out with all the young adults. That all happened, you know, kind of organically, and then, you know, it just kind of fell into place. But you gotta get out there somewhere and make yourself, you know, and it could be a trailer park. I mean, you don't have to be the project. It could be a trailer park. It could be, you know, different areas. It got different cultures, you know. I mean, if you're in an area where kids like soccer, bring a soccer ball out there, you know. Kick the soccer ball around with them a little bit. If you're in an area that kids like football, bring a football, you know, or a basketball. Or, something, you know, and because you've got to, the kids have got to have some connection to say, and I'd like to go check that church out.
Yeah.
And when you get, our greatest evangelists are other kids. Our greatest word of mouth is like if a new kid moves in the neighborhood, I mean, it's almost comical. When our church bus pulls in, I mean, kids are trucking it from everywhere. Like ants coming out of woodwork, coming after our church bus, trying to get to it. And it's because they, you know, they want to be there. They like being there. They understand it. You know, and I got to keep it, you know, I got to keep our teachers motivated, our children's ministry workers motivated, saying, you know, how much we appreciate them. And, you know, it's a process. We're not done. I mean, we're working it right now, how we can bring another bus in, and we may have to do the two different children's church programs. I mean, literally like run them back to back or something. You know, we have no room. We're tapped out. We have no more. We can't put another kid in a classroom.
Yeah.
But we may have to, you know, if we either we'll build or we'll have to do something, you know, where we're running two children's church programs, you know, 1 hour's one and the next hour is the next one. But I believe churches can be transformed by the children's ministry.
I love it. I love it. And I think, you know, what's key there is just, like you said, you know, the fun day. And I've had experience even just playing like a game of kickball in a neighborhood, you know, it will, you know, makes a difference. You know, kids just, you know, they love that stuff. That might seem real simple, but it's more about, you know, hey, someone's taking the time out to connect and play a game. And that goes a long way for a lot of these kids. And I think what's key there is just getting in the community, be visible in the community. You know, whatever that might look like, and God blesses that, you know, just like how he's blessed you all. Well, Pastor Richard, thank you so much for being on the podcast, man. I really, really appreciate it. I don't know if there's, you know, if there's someone out there that wants to kind of, you know, pick your brain and they want to start, you know, a bus ministry themselves, what's the best way to reach to you? Would it be Facebook or email or something like that?
Yeah, they can Facebook me, just inbox me on Facebook. I try to, you know, I get quite a bit of that anyway, but I'll do my best to respond to them. You know, if anybody is at, you know, events that we're at, you know, for instance, General Conference is coming up, and anybody wants to ask any questions about it, you know, feel free to connect with me there. But, you know, online at Facebook is a good way. And I, you know, again, there's no magic wand you wave. It's just, you got to get your boots on the ground and be excited. Here's the thing. And I'll end with this. If I'm not excited about it, nobody else is going to be excited about it. I have got to be excited about it. When I bring excitement, I bring enthusiasm, it flows downhill to my team. My team's excited because they know Pastor Gifford is going to come in that place. I don't have off days off. You know, I'm not taking vacation days. But I mean, when I walk in the building, it's going to be hoorah, everything, you know, and even if everything isn't great, for those 45 minutes is going to be great. And then I'll sort out the other stuff when, you know, and we do. And it's fun. It's just, you know, as I said, it's one of the greatest things that God's ever allowed me to do.
I love it. That's awesome. And that's incredible. You know, leadership there is just getting excited about it and it'll affect, you know, the other leaders and your kids ministry leaders in the church. So that's incredible. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast, bro. We really appreciate it. And thank you very much. And thank you, listeners, for checking out this week's Kinetic Podcast. We hope you've gained something. I know I have, of some inspiration, and not only that, but practical tips that you can take to reach out to your community, to make an impact to your community and your church. And that we hope you take this and energize your kinmen. We'll see you next time.